He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Well, good morning again. You're stuck with me all morning. It's going to be good. I've been looking forward to giving this message for a little while. I don't do it often, so I'm not very excitable. I apologize, but we're gonna get through this. It's going to be really good. I guess I just wanted to start and give a little background to why my message is going to be so nerdy today. I've always been fascinated with science, especially astronomy, like black holes, string theory, dark matter. The nerdier, the better. Melissa can tell you, I just sit there and watch YouTube videos that she'll fall asleep, and I'm perfectly happy. I guess part of it maybe because I was raised a Trekkie. I don't know if anyone else in here are Trekkies. Oh, no. Oh, my. Oh, okay. Well, it's going to go really well, so, all right. Well, in particular, growing up and being fascinated with, you know, science and space and all that, I've especially been fascinated with the reconciliation of faith and science. And this is going to be awesome. The background thunder, I was hoping for that. It's going to be so good. Yeah, you can't make that up. I grew up attending a private parochial school. I don't know if some of you may be in that boat with me, but it seemed to be like there was a very awkward tension between science and faith. It was kind of like you didn't know what to do with your hands when you're sitting in science class. But the more I grew, the more intrigued I became. It just seemed like, God gave us brains. God gave us the ability to reason and to think and to discover and to learn and grow. And so I was never really afraid of that. And the thing is, the more I discovered, the more I dug in, the more evident God became to me. Never once was I like, man, I'm not sure about this whole God thing. It just, the more I learned, the more God was just real. I'm going to talk about one of my favorite examples. For thousands of years, this is a long time ago, there was a philosophical idea. Yes, yes. A philosophical idea of an atom. They didn't call it an atom because they didn't know what an atom was, but there was this idea that everything had a base. There was some sort of building block to reality that everything in the earth was made of, something that which there could be nothing smaller. And if we could just identify that, then we could explain how we got here and what's going on and where we're going. For most of history, it was nothing more than an idea. In fact, at one point in time, people believed grains of sand were the building block because that was what we had. That was the smallest thing that we had in the discovered universe. Time goes on, and obviously we invent microscopes and whatnot. Technology improves, and all of a sudden, on the dawn of microscopes, we discover cells, and it's kind of like this, yes, we finally arrived, this is it. And that lasted for a little bit, until about 125 years ago, when scientists were able to actually split that cell, and what they found was the atom. And they thought, finally, this is it. We've made it, we've figured it out. Not so much. As time goes on, by the way, I just want to point this out because I love this. Just to give you an idea of how small atoms are, there are more atoms in an 8-ounce glass of water than there are glasses of water in all of the oceans combined. It's just crazy We're talking small, small. So as time goes on, technology improves, we realize that we can actually take that thing apart. And what we find, we have protons and electrons and neutrons, and I'm getting super geeky here. I'm loving it. It's like a calling, I don't know. And so at this point, we're like, this is it. Not so much. Not even that far ago, I mean, within our lifetime, they've been able to split that guy. And what we have here, this is my favorite. Look at that guy. He's up to no good. No. This guy is what they call a quark, and this is when we start getting into the subatomic particle level of science here. And when we get down to this point, things get very, very, very strange very quickly. And I'm just amazed at these guys. I've got some facts here that I want to share with you. At this point in history, they've been able to identify at least 150 of these subatomic particles. They've identified subatomic particles, like the quark, that can come into existence for a billionth of a second, and then it disappears, and they have no idea where it came from, and they have no idea where it went. They have split this little guy and put one half of it miles away, taken the other half, reversed the polarity, so it's spinning one way, they make it spin the other way. Instantaneously, the other half miles away reverses its polarity at the same exact moment. Just crazy. Some of you guys are just like, I don't know what you're talking about, but trust me, it's cool. This is cool. If you want to Google this stuff, is that me? Yeah. This thing is called quantum superposition. You can just Google it if you're interested later, but they've found an atom that can exist in two places at the same time. One atom exists in two places at the same time. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Maybe something in the Bible? It's crazy. So the thing is, the deeper we go, the more we press in, the further deeper we go, the more things start to look like the fingerprints of God. The more we discover, the more a creator seems undeniable. So now that we're waist deep in quantum physics, I just want to switch gears for a second. So some of you will be relieved, but we're still going to talk about science, sorry. But I want to kind of get this spiritual element in and talk about the trajectory of the kingdom of God when it comes to the lens of science like we're talking about here. What you find, even at the smallest quantum level, particles, cells, molecules, all these things are basically bits and pieces of energy that are essentially in a relationship with each other. So when it comes down to it, we are all made up of a very, very complicated, several billion times over relationship of energy. And the key word I want to kind of stick with is relationship. From the beginning of creation, when God spoke, you know, it was God in perfect unity and relationship, and he spoke and everything came to be. I just keep that in mind as we go on here. I'm going to try something different. This is brand new, never before seen technology at level 13. I'm going to draw. So what we're talking about when we talk about the kingdom of God and relationships and all of this kind of thing, we could start with tiny little particles. Let's start over here. Just little guys. Is it showing up over there? Yeah, it's nice. So let's say we have those particles. That's not too bad. So particles are hanging out. They decide to bond. You know, they basically say, hey, you guys want to hang out? So what happens when that when they bond, somewhere in there, something new comes about. Well, we have our atoms. I'm going to draw them a little bit bigger. And again, you know, some of them are hungry. They decide to get some pizza. And you guys want to hang out? Yeah. So atoms start hanging out. They bond. Something new that hadn't been in existence before comes about because of this relationship that happens, this bonding. So next we get cells, actual cellular life. So then, that looks weird. That's all right. Cephas? I'll scratch that. So what happens next? The cells decide to hang out, right? I'll tell you what happens. This guy happens. It's a good-looking specimen. It's a good-looking specimen. I'll take that off. The truth is, though, that you and I are absolutely fascinating. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, created and molded from dust and particles and molecules by God Himself. But it doesn't stop there. So what happens when people of all shapes and sizes, backgrounds, origins, decide to come together? Again, in the trajectory of the kingdom of God, something new is created that didn't exist before. And what we call that in the kingdom of God is the body of Christ, the church. John 17, verse 18 through 23 says, "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me." You see the picture of the relationship between God the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the oneness that God has called us to, that He's asking the Father. Something new is coming about. So the kingdom of God is relational. It's inclusive. It's expanding. It's moving forward. It's calling us to something greater than we could ever possibly be on our own. Could you imagine if an atom way, way back, when God spoke and, you know, it all started, if an atom was just like, "I'm not bonding with these other atoms, that's dumb." Could you imagine? Like, the story of the universe would be about 3 minutes long and there'd be no one around to hear it. So, the truth is, if that were the case, it'd hold the whole thing up. From its relational expanding forward movement. And I believe that's why things like racism are so toxic and destructive. See, if we look at the previous examples, we see that each component bonds with others of similar essence and substance to create something new, something that wasn't there before. Racism, by definition, is the failure to bond with another of similar essence and substance. It's not just immoral, it's not just unjust or wrong, it's going in the opposite direction of the kingdom of God. That's why you wake up and you see things on the news or on Facebook and it just feels like we're being ripped backwards. You get that sick feeling in your gut. So where do we go from here? I'm going to kind of go big again, get out of the quantum area and go back into the universe here for a second and share a little bit about the observable universe that we know. I'm fascinated that out of everything that we know of the universe, only 5% can even be defined. The observable universe is made up of 95% dark matter and dark energy. It doesn't mean that it's just a bunch of nothingness. It just means that we haven't been able to define it. We're just not sure what it is. That's fascinating. 95% blows my mind. I think if I were to ask you, and I've heard many stories over my lifetime of people giving their testimony of where God has taken them from, where God has brought them to, where he's leading them. I think if I were to ask you, each one of you individually, to give me 2 or 3, 4 significant moments in your life that shaped you, that brought you to the place where you are now, I believe you might tell us stories about failed relationships, about bankruptcy, about dropping out of school. Maybe you tell us stories about wrestling with an addiction, maybe losing a loved one. And you tell us that it was awful. It was a nightmare. But then you'd say in some sort of strange way that that now, in this place, you realize that those things are what brought you to where you are. You say, I don't even know what I'd do without that. As painful, as awful as it was at the time. You'd probably tell us lots of stories about dark matter, about the unknown, about doubt and pain. Scientists say we don't know exactly what dark matter and dark energy is, but there seems to be at least a universal agreement, and this is also very fascinating to me, that dark matter and dark energy is somehow necessary. It's somehow necessary and vital for the ongoing life of the universe. The unknown, those dark places, it can be a scary place. It can be very lonely. But I believe it's when we join others in that space, in that dark matter, where we find God. And by the way, that's why level 13 was even started in the first place. To go to the hard places. To go to the unknown. The level 13, the dark matter. To meet people where they are. Isaiah 42, verse 5 through 7 says, thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I believe God is found in the doubt. I believe God is found in the pain. God is found in the dark matter of the soul. And it's our privilege as the body of Christ, as the hands and feet of Christ, to go to those places, to meet people where they are in the middle of those uncertain times, uncertain spaces, to bring light, to be the church. So that's where God's leading us. Are you in? Are we in? I want to create a little space. Sometimes, you know, it's healthy to have an opportunity just to reflect on where God has brought you, where God's taken you. Oftentimes we're so busy, we just don't have time for that. And I'd love to give you an opportunity this morning to do that. Maybe think on the relationships that you have, the people that God has placed in your life to make a connection, a deeper relationship, to meet them where they are in the middle of their darkness, their uncertainty. I'm going to pray over us first and then give you that opportunity. God, I confess, sometimes it's too easy to just walk in the doors of this place and sing songs and hear somebody talk and then head home like nothing happened. God, I confess that there are times that I've taken for granted what it means to be part of the body of Christ. God, I ask for forgiveness. God, and we know we're surrounded by terrible things, by confusing things, by people that are walking through life without any hope, without any true joy. And God, we have that. God, open our eyes. Open our eyes to see where we can bring your joy, your hope, your love. God, I pray, as your word says, that many, many will come by the word of our testimony, God. By the way we live our lives, not just by where we show up on a Sunday morning. May we be in deep relationship with each other and with the lost.